Welcome, welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life, brought to you by Gamer Goo. My name is Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. As always, I appreciate you here for tuning in to the podcast. Appreciate that so much. And you know what? I got some feedback yesterday to my discussion on Persona 5. And many of you saying that, yeah, you're in for a long, long journey. And yes, I do know it is a very long game. And we're going to see. I mean, I did play a lot more yesterday. And really still continuing to enjoy that ride. Like I said, it's almost like you're playing a just a giant anime, you know, like you're watching an anime, but you're kind of playing along with it. And so far, I'm actually pretty digging it. But I appreciate the feedback to Persona 5. But, you know, again, you can always hit me on Twitter at Marturk, at M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And, of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. I want to kick it off today with just a little bit of video game news. And first up is, you know, I talk, you guys know here a lot about Elder Scrolls Online. It's not a game that I've currently been playing a lot lately, but that's really just because, you know, I always get into the hype every year for the big expansions that are coming out. And of course, we do know that kind of the reveal of this year's expansion seems to be hinting towards Oblivion. We're going to have something with happening with Oblivion. I mean, we've been to Morrowind, we've been to Somerset, you know, we've been to all these different places, but Oblivion seems to be the new one. But what they're doing, and this is pretty cool, today was actually supposed to be the reveal of the expansion. However, just due to the presidential inauguration later today, they decided to hold off on that, which, by the way, you know, historic, right? Every time there's an inauguration of the presidency, check it out today. I mean, it is always something that is awesome to see. Obviously, it's a little bit different this go around, but it is history, right? But anyways, beyond that, back to Elder Scrolls Online, right? Something more important than the presidential inauguration. Elder Scrolls Online right now, ESO Plus, is free. Free starting right now. It goes all the way until January 26th. So what does that get you if you're not familiar with Elder Scrolls Online? Well, you have to own the base game. That is one thing you have to have. However, if you do have Game Pass, it is included. Elder Scrolls Online is included with Game Pass. Only on console. It's not on PC. But if you want to get ESO Plus, this gets you access to not the major expansion. So you're not going to get like Greymoor that came out this past year. I think you will actually go at least back to Morrowind. And I think you even get Somerset now included with that. But you don't get the other bigger ones. But you get the smaller expansions like all the little dungeon content. And then every big expansion always has another little extra zone. So like Mirkmire, I'm sorry, was included in one of those. So you are going to get a lot of content with that. But the biggest thing, and I always tell people this, and they always laugh when I say it, is you get a crafting bag, which, believe me, sounds like nothing. But if you've ever played Skyrim or if you've ever played any Elder Scrolls game, you know there are things to pick up everywhere. So all those little items that you find don't take up space in your inventory. You have this unlimited bag that all that crap goes into when you have ESO Plus. So it makes such a difference. So I would tell you, if you've ever had any interest in Elder Scrolls Online, I mean, you know, I don't want to say the sad thing is, but the game is so big now that if, you know, this week's worth for you, if you're coming to it for the first time, chances are you're not really going to get a ton out of it. Although, I mean, you can go anywhere and do anything you want in Elder Scrolls Online. You could be a level one and start jumping into some of those dungeons. Actually, no, I think you have to be a level 10 maybe before you get access to your first dungeon. But I mean, believe me, they unlock like immediately because you level up so fast now in that game. But if you are a returning player and you've played before, get in there and now's your time. Check out all that content. I mean, there's tons of story there for you, especially if you're an Elder Scrolls fan. Now, all you need to do if you want to get access to this is you have to go to elderscrollsonline.com. You got to get in there to their website. You got to go over to the Crown Store, which is kind of like their paid store. Select the ESO Plus tab. Then you'll see that it's free and you just activate it on your account. So you will have to at least have linked your account, whether you're playing on Xbox, PlayStation, whatever, or PC, link that account to the website. And then just access it right there via their website. And then you're in all the way until January 26th. And then what they're doing is, I guess that runs till January 26th at 10 a.m. On that day, that's when the big reveal is coming. So they're kind of giving you the game and saying, hey, check it out, guys. Come play our game. And then we're going to hook you in. Then you're going to see this new expansion that's on the way. Which I'm telling you right now, I mean, I'm not playing it right now. just because, you know, I got some other games I'm playing. But, you know, it's cyclical for me. I always come back to Elder Scrolls Online come, you know, springtime when we're getting ready for that. But I guarantee you, after watching whatever they show on the 26th, my hype train's going to be up there because I'm going to be all about it. I mean, you guys know that. That's me. That's just the way I am when it comes to to games and, of course, the Elder Scrolls Online. I mean, I just get excited for these things. Another MMO right now, it's actually having a 10th anniversary. And this is something I think is pretty neat that I think some people may want to check out is DC Universe Online right now is celebrating their 10th anniversary. The game's been out 10 years. It's kind of crazy to think about that. But it's pretty much on everything now, right? It's on PlayStation. I believe it's on Xbox. It's on PC. It's on Switch. Right now, if you just log into the game, you get a bunch of like gifts and things like that, you know, to kind of celebrate this anniversary. But the best thing you're getting, and this is huge because it's something I've never done the grind for. If you play DC Universe Online, I think the level cap is like 30. It's low. And you hit that pretty quick. You don't have to play that long to hit that. But then it becomes a gear grind. It's one of those games where you're just grinding like this. I think they call it your combat rating in DC Universe Online. Well, the cool thing now is I think the max, it's either 320 or 330 in DC Universe Online. Just for logging in now, just for logging in all the way until January 31st, you immediately get a boost to get up to a CR or a combat rating of 290. So you're not necessarily the highest level, but it puts you into content where, you know, then you can log in and have access to content that is being played by a lot of, you know, higher level players, which means your queues and all that are going to be much quicker. Because right now when you go into the game, yeah, it's free to play, and sure, there is always kind of that treadmill of people playing and leveling up characters, but there's not a ton queuing for a lot of those dungeons and things like that. I don't know what they call them in DC Universe Online. Essentially, what is a dungeon? You know, a match-made dungeon. But at that level now, you're going to have a lot more people that are there that have been playing for the 10 years and playing forever that you're going to suddenly be able to play with. So I don't have it logged or installed on my PS5. I mean, I was playing it in like August. I remember before Marvel Avengers came out. It was kind of my superhero game holding me off until Avengers. But I want to get back in there and that character I was building, just pop them up to 290 because then I'll have them. DC Universe Online, I'll tell you, it really is. You go in there and graphically, you know, you could tell it is a little bit older. Although, I mean, they've put out like, I want to say it's like 38 or 39 expansions. I think they call them episodes or issues. I forget what they call them in there. But, you know, there's so much content in that game right now. And it really is very much an MMO. I mean, when you look at kind of how it works, playing with the cooldowns and all that stuff on your hotbar, it's a lot of fun. It really is. And playing with a controller, it plays great. You know, it was one of the first MMOs, I think, that really kind of incorporated a controller very well. I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny to think 10 years. I mean, you look back and, you know, I've been talking about Final Fantasy 14 a lot lately. I want to say 14 is coming up on its 10th year. I want to say in 2011 is when it launched in its basically failed state and then relaunched later in 2012, kind of as a Realm Reborn. And it does good with the controller, but it really wasn't built with the controller in mind. I mean, you know, yes, they were trying to put 14 out on the PS3 as well. But I think that DC Universe Online really made controller much more streamlined and much better than Final Fantasy 14 did. I mean, the good thing about 14 is it's so customizable that you just basically find what works for you. But, you know, DC Universe Online just kind of nailed it right out the gate, which is awesome. So, hey, if you've ever had any interest in playing DC Universe Online, now may be the time. Like I said, even if you may not want to jump in and play right now, I'm going to recommend you maybe get in there and just grab that 290 boost because, like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, I have no interest right now in sitting down and playing that game for any extended period of time, but I want that boost. So, I'm definitely going to be doing that. Switching gears from video games over to some television, there's some big news kind of potentially dropping, speaking of comic books, and that is that Batman the Animated Series is supposedly getting either a sequel or a reboot to some extent for HBO Max, currently potentially in development. This is coming from, Mark Barnardin over on Fat Man Beyond, a podcast that I do listen to every once in a while. There was a time I was listening to it actually weekly. Of course, that is Kevin Smith's show, so Kevin and Mark are always you know, every week basically putting a show up. They used to actually do it in front of a live audience, which was great, at this like Star Wars bar. I think they called it the Cantina. It was in California, and I'm assuming they're not doing it in front of an audience, obviously, with the pandemic. But Mark said that the rumor is that they're making a Batman the Animated Series sequel for HBO Max, and they want to, I guess, continue forward. Kevin then jumped in and said, I'm just going to say I'm not a part of that, but I've heard the same thing as well. Kevin, of course, has written for DC. I know he did a lot of work with Arrow for their series over there. But, you know, hey, this could be exciting. You know, HBO Max, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of these streaming services. We've talked about with Netflix before how they were able to bring back, you know, shows like Fuller House, you know, bringing back Full House. Or we've been able to see kind of continuation of things. Or, hell, Cobra Kai right now, right? It wasn't a television series, but we're seeing that coming back. We've seen Saved by the Bell. You're able to go back to those things. Why not do it with an animated series? I mean, we saw Animaniacs happening with Hulu. Yeah, Batman the Animated Series, such a successful animated show. People love that show. You know, hell, it launched Harley Quinn. Mark Hamill was a part of it. We were kind of talking in the Discord yesterday. You would almost have to still bring back that same cast. I mean, if Kevin Conroy is not Batman in that series, then just throw it out the window. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we even bothering? If they can get as many of the original cast members back, I think that would be great. Now, again, it depends on, is it actually a sequel or is it a reboot? If it's a reboot, you know, maybe you do make a change and bring in different voice actors. I mean, the fans, and I know many of you listening, we don't want that. Of course, we want Mark Hamill's Joker. We want Kevin Conroy's Batman. But, you know, I don't know. But either way, super exciting. I mean, that series, if you've never watched Batman the Animated Series, I highly recommend you get out there and check it out. It is just fantastic. I mean, as a kid, and like when those episodes were coming out and I was watching them, like it was just such a dark series. And, you know, it almost seemed, I don't want to say taboo, but when you're watching, you're like, am I really watching this? Like they're shooting straight up guns. Like at that point, you know, we had our G.I. Joe was on. I mean, this was G.I. Joe was years before it, but they're shooting lasers. You know, they weren't actually shooting like straight up bullets. Or when you watch Batman the Animated Series, like they were straight up shooting bullets and killing people. Like it was just such a crazy thing. And I remember for me, I know it was syndicated on Fox, so it depends probably where you lived at what time it was on. For me, it was on at 5 o'clock. So it wasn't like we would usually get like our Disney animated, you know, afternoons, which I think was on Fox for a while and then eventually jumped over and we would get shows like Animaniacs and I'm trying to think what some of those other shows were on right after school. But it wasn't until 5 o'clock that Batman was on. And I always kind of wondered like, was that intentional that it was a little bit later? So it was like they knew, you know, maybe not the younger kids are going to bed or anything like that, but it wasn't like right out of the gate after school. Like maybe it was during dinner and they were thinking people weren't watching it. Like, it just felt like you shouldn't really be watching it. And my mom would always cook dinner around like 5 or 5:30. So it was like if she was calling for dinner and Batman was still on, it was like, nope, got to watch Batman, Mom. Like I'm not leaving my room. I'm just, you know, totally just encapsulated. And for me, being somebody who didn't really read DC Comics as a kid, I mean, I went and saw the Batman movies. This was my real, besides the Michael Keaton movie, the first movie. And then, of course, I mean, I went and saw all the other movies as they came out. But Batman the Animated Series was my entry point into Batman. And that was my Batman. So those stories, whether they were true to the comics or not, that was the stories that I knew. And it's a great series. So I definitely recommend if you've never seen Batman the Animated Series, go check it out. And the news that there's potentially a sequel coming, it's fantastic, and I know a lot of people would be pretty stoked to see that. Speaking of just shows I watched as a kid, Disney Plus finally announced. I mean, this is something that I know a lot of people were shocked wasn't there right off the bat. But The Muppet Show, all 5 seasons of The Muppet Show are coming to Disney Plus on February 19th, which is awesome. Absolutely love it. You know, the Muppets obviously have a presence on Disney Plus with the new show and that, but the old Muppet Show still just kind of holds that place in my heart. It was a show that, you know, hey, I mentioned I watched Batman. We'd have dinner after dinner on TNT. They would show like Looney Tunes for like hours. And so all those old Looney Tunes cartoons, that's where I would watch them was on TNT. And I think I want to say they did it even every night, even on the weekends. You could always catch some Looney Tunes, even might even been in the mornings. But then around like 7 or 7:30, they would show either for a while it was 1 episode and then for a while it was 2 episodes, old episodes of The Muppet Show. And, you know, if you've never seen it, it was, I probably should have looked this up. I want to say it was probably the late 70s, maybe even made it into 80, 81. And those basically was like a variety show with the Muppets, but they would have celebrities on. So they would have musical acts, actors, and all that. And then obviously just all the chaos and shenanigans that the Muppets would get into. And I mean, being that there was only five seasons, I don't know how many episodes there were, but they were just on like repeat over and over and over on TNT. And I loved it, man. Like, because, you know, even as a kid, prior to that, we had Muppet Babies, of course, which I was big into Muppet Babies on the weekends. But then, you know, The Muppet Show was, as I got a little bit older, they started airing that on TNT, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. So there's, you know, the Muppet films and Muppet Babies, but there's this whole show they did. And I remember, you know, my dad saying like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we used to watch that back when it was on. And he'd watch it with me sometimes. But I'm interested to go back and check it out. I mean, it's obviously, I'm sure you watch it now. It's cornballish, you know, but there's some classic sketches in there, because it's almost like you're watching Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's the Muppets basically doing like a sketch comedy show, like Muppets in Space, and you know, all the just silly things that, you know, Gonzo would get into, shooting himself across the stage, and what was it, Camilla his chicken, and all that. Like, there's just so many wacky things that would happen on that show, and it was always, you know, Kermit trying to pull it all together, and it always ended up being like a train wreck, but in the end it always turned out, you know, okay. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. If you've never seen, The Muppets, I definitely recommend checking out The Muppet Show, when that does drop there. Now, the final thing I do want to talk about, this is a little bit of comic news that I saw yesterday. Marvel's bringing back somewhat of a What If series. They're not actually tagging it as a What If, but they are saying that, they are kicking off a new era of What If stories. So I don't know if it is going to have the What If tagline on it. As far as I know, it's not. But they're jumping into like a mini series with whatever these What Ifs are going to be. I'm guessing it's also kind of in line with the series, the animated series that we're going to get a little bit later this year. But this one is called Spider-Man Spider Shadow. And it's essentially, what if Peter Parker, you know, became infected with the symbiote and basically chose not to take it off, and he ultimately became Venom and went down that dark path that he did avoid, and of course Eddie Brock got stuck with the suit. Sounds super interesting, man, and it goes into saying that the series, the Hobgoblin's basically going to attack, and we're just going to see what this Spider-Man's going to do. My guess, we're going to see Spider-Man straight up murder Hobgoblin. Like, it's not going to be like, you know, oh, he defeated him and he goes away. I mean, I think, you know, when you see just the darkness that was getting into Peter Parker because of the symbiote, I think he would go as far as it would take, and he would just, it's no longer defeat your enemies and put them in jail. Let's cross that line and just kill them, right? Because that's, I think, what Venom would do, right? Venom wouldn't give in. And then, you know, you almost wonder, are we going to get like an Eddie Brock actually show up in the series? I don't know. Pretty interesting. It's going to be written by Chip Darsky, or Zdarsky. And it's coming out in April. It's going to be a 4-part miniseries, so I'm definitely interested in that. Seems like it's going to be a really, really cool series. And, you know, I guess if you're into Spider-Man or Venom, this may be a series up your alley as well. Well, guys, that's going to do it for me today. As always, big thank you to GamerGoo for supporting the show. You know, it is that antiperspirant for your hands. It lasts up to 4 hours to give you those non-sweaty controllers while you're playing those video games. Head on over to GamerGoo.com. Get all the information you need over there, all the different scents. They are now shipping the latest scent, the Beach Breeze. But of course, there's some other scents in there. It's teak wood, cherry blossom, orange, peppermint, you name it. They got something for everyone. Go to GamerGoo.com. And if you're interested in purchasing that, be sure to use my promo code TEL, T-E-L. Save yourself 10% off your order today. Again, go to GamerGoo.com. Use my promo code TEL, T-E-L. And save yourself 10% off your order today. You can find that link down in the show notes, as well as links to all the other stuff, all my socials, media threads, you know, my Twitter, the email. Please email the show. Like I said yesterday, I want to know what you guys are doing right now. What are you into? Just kind of sitting here in a little lull in some video games then. And you know, what are you watching? What are you binging? My wife and I actually are now on season 5 of Vikings over on Amazon Prime. And what's interesting is, like, for some reason, season 4, 5, and 6 are broken up into 2 parts, and each part is like 10 episodes. So we're in season 5, like kind of in the middle of season 5, but it's like season 5 is like 20 episodes long. But we're loving it. I mean, it's stuff that, you know, my wife and I love, kind of the medieval, it's not really fantasy, but, you know, she loves all that. Like, she loved like the Tudors and any old time series like that. Like, she's into all the, you know, Henry VIII, all that stuff. So this just fits all in with that, even though it's Vikings just straight up murdering people. It's great. And I'm telling you, man, that show is pretty badass. Like, there is some pretty awesome just battles and things happening in that show, which, you know, we you see that in those first two seasons that we watched a little bit. But that story gets pretty good. And the interesting bit, too, is we've kind of been going, as we've been going through and you're getting introduced to all these new characters, we've kind of been looking up about the characters. And these are supposedly real people. When you look up information about them, some of them, you know, some of the battles and things like that maybe didn't take place timeline wise and kind of how they're presenting it. But it is all things that did happen throughout Viking history and Viking lore. And so it's kind of interesting to see how they've presented all that. It's a great show. You know, again, I recommend it, but you know, if you have someone in your life, because I know someone in our Discord I'm not going to name drop him, but I know he did try to watch it with his wife. And his wife was like, nah, I'm not really enjoying it. So, you know, it's not always up everybody's cup of tea. But I would say if you liked Game of Thrones, I think that you could probably get through Vikings and you probably would enjoy it, because it's been kind of a nice little fit to fill in kind of the gap that Game of Thrones has left behind. Well, everybody, thank you here as always for tuning in. And until tomorrow, we'll catch you next time.